This is a special Occupation Nation edition of the Mike Malloy Show.
It's coming through a hole in the air from those Nats, Tiananmen Square. It's coming from a field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there.
Oh, it's real.
From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay. Democracy is coming to the USA.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming. One way or another, it is coming to the U.S. Hell, I'd say it's here. Are you paying attention? Hey, welcome, Truth Seekers. This is your Mike Malloy Show. I am your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and occupier of your public airwaves tonight, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, drafted into duty one more night here to be the media, broadcasting live from the left coast in beautiful downtown Burbank at the K-Talk AM 1150 studios. Glad you could join us tonight. Mike has been off the last three nights, although he's checked in here for the last couple of nights, from the D.C. protest, the Occupy Washington, D.C.org protests, previously known as October2011.org. Where they have been occupying, they have begun the occupation of Washington, D.C., following on the occupations, of course, of Wall Street and all around this nation. And I couldn't be more delighted about it. It smells like democracy to me, but the good kind, not the kind we usually smell around here. So glad you could join us. 3 hours of live broadcasting tonight. And, we got another big show for you, as usual. Coming up a little bit later, we've got a guy by the name of Greg Pallas. You may have heard of him, a BBC investigative journalist. You know, it's funny with Pallas. Pallas showed up in one of these emails that they were able to squeeze out of the Bush administration. One of Karl Rove's emails referred to Greg Pallas as that British journalist. He's actually not British at all, but he does work for the BBC. He will be joining us here tonight to speak about his new book, Uber Vultures? Wait a minute. What's it called? Let me see. I had to prepare before the show. His new book, Vultures Picnic, A Tale of Oil, Sex, Radiation, and Investigative Reporting. Looking forward to that. And we'll be talking about his new article at Truthout today called Uber Vultures, The Billionaires Who Would Pick Our President. I have a feeling the Koch brothers are going to come up into that. Into that discussion. I will look forward to that. And by the way, if you don't remember, or if you missed it or a little bit earlier in the week, I had mentioned that when I was guest hosting for Malloy back in July or August, or was it July? Yeah, I think it was July. Yeah. And see, there was Tony actually talking during the show. Well done. I think it was July. I had been working on a big article, series of articles. One of them I had complained when I came on the air that I had overwritten it and deleted it and lost it entirely. And that, in fact, was the second part of the two-part series that I ran at Mother Jones a few weeks back about the secret Koch tapes that you may have heard of, where Charles Koch came out and alluded to Saddam Hussein as the, alluded to Barack Obama as Saddam Hussein, talked about the mother of all wars that he and brother Charles, brother David, were preparing to wage to get their White House back, as they saw it. These were secret tapes that I posted at bradblog.com. They're secret tapes. Is that the way to put it? They were secretly recorded, we'll put it that way, at their secret meeting, the Koch brothers' secret meeting out in Vail, Colorado in June. And the second night of the second part of the story was Chris Christie, governor of New Jersey, and his secret keynote speech that he gave for the Koch brothers and the billionaire titans that had gathered out there in Vail, Colorado. They gathered there. They are waging war. They are invited. You are not. We're going to be talking about some of that tonight with Greg Pallast. And the man that he says, oh, don't worry about the Koch brothers. Worry about the guy that they take orders from. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. We'll also speak with Ernest Canning, attorney and legal contributor to The Brad Blog, who has some thoughts on the occupations that continue to grow around the nation and why and how they're different than the Tea Party. Or are they? We'll find out. We'll hash that out. I've actually been arguing that there's a lot of Tea Partiers across the nation, people who originally joined that movement because they were genuinely ticked off at the notion that, remember, the government had put billions of dollars into the banks, paid them off to keep them alive, socialized the banks. These corporations, these huge corporations, became socialized to save their life because they had screwed it up under crony capitalism that allowed them to basically give away the store. So to save our economy, we gave them our tax dollars, and what did they do? They turned around, they started giving out bonuses with all of this free tax money that they got from us. The government welfare that Citibank was enjoying, that Bank of America was enjoying, that AIG was enjoying, they turned around and they started giving out million-dollar bonuses to their executives. And when they were called on it, they said, oh, well, we have to do that. Otherwise, we'll lose these people. It's don't you know anything about competition and capitalism? Jerks. So, yeah, everyone got a little ticked off. It wasn't that for about 5 minutes, it was not a right or left thing. It was a right and wrong thing. And that, of course, that movement, that anger became co-opted by the liars, cheats, and scoundrels of Koch Industries and of Karl Rove Productions. And the entire thing was co-opted by the Republican Party and turned into a, gosh darn that Obama, what a terrible guy he is. And, oh, too much government spending. Yeah, that's the problem. Oh, and too much regulation. It's killing jobs. It was lack of regulations that killed your jobs, America. Anyway, yeah, so that's how the Tea Party sort of kicked off. That, of course, followed on the real Tea Party, which was Ron Paul's 2007 Tea Party, where intellectually honest, whether you agree with them or not, you know, they came out and said, this is crazy what's going on, what the government is doing, the corporatocracy, and the wars, and George Bush, and his insane military spending. So there was a lot of people who joined that Tea Party movement who I will argue were duped by the right wingers, were duped by Fox News, and were co-opted and were cheated and were lied to. Those people, that anger, that's what you're seeing blossoming in Wall Street. That's what you're seeing blossoming all around this country, where people are occupying their cities, where they're taking back their government, their public spaces, where they are saying enough. That's the same anger. So, I'd love to hear tonight from folks in the Tea Party who realize how they were lied to and scammed and cheated by the scoundrels at Fox, at Rove Productions, at Koch Industries. And realize that those people out there occupying Wall Street and everywhere else around this nation right now, those people, those are you. That was your movement. That was your Tea Party before it was co-opted by the corporatists. So, I would love to see folks from that Tea Party walking out with the occupiers and saying, yes, we are with you. We are with you. We have had enough. Because it's the same fight, it's the same struggle, but there are differences between these two groups that I know Ernie Canning wants to talk about tonight, so he will be on the air to talk with us. We'll also be keeping the third hour, as much as I can, completely open to hear from occupiers around the nation. You will need this phone number, 877-520-1150. That's our number here. 877-520-1150. Write it down because I want to hear from Occupation Nation in hour three. If not before, we may open up the phone lines. We'll see. But definitely hour number three. Spread the word high and low from Wall Street to Main Street to San Francisco, occupy San Francisco, occupy L.A., occupy Austin, occupy DFW, everywhere in between. Occupy St. Louis, my peeps in St. Louis. Thank you for your occupation. I'd love to hear from you tonight, too. So that will be hour three. And what other business? Oh, yes, our chat room is open and already lively. Stop by bradblog.com. Meet our lovely moderators. For Earth is there. Desi is there. Dale is there. I suspect Jeannie Dean will be there unless she's down at the Occupy LA protest tonight. But we'd love to see you there. Just come on by bradblog.com. Click through the very first item. You'll find the chat room. All are welcome. Also, you can tweet me throughout the night at the Bradblog. Got it? I am the Bradblog over on Twitter. Have I taken care of everything? Should I go to a... Let's go to a quick break, and I will come back with a few more items that are coming out today that are driving me absolutely nuts. Brad Friedman of Bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us. Oh, yes, we do. And oh, yes, we will. Brad Friedman of Bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. I was just got a call from the election board director of Venango County, Pennsylvania, where they have been kicking off a unprecedented examination of their terrible ESNS Ivotronic touchscreen voting systems out there. And he wanted to come on the air and chew the fat a bit. But we only have a few minutes here, so I'm going to have him call in next hour. Hopefully we can hear from him and hear how that landmark independent investigation of those crappy 100% unverifiable voting systems are going out there in Pennsylvania. The same ones, by the way, the Ivotronic. Those are the machines that that elected Alvin Green down there as the U.S. Senate, Democratic U.S. Senate candidate in South Carolina. Remember Alvin Green? The guy who no one ever heard of, who didn't have a job, who had no money, who didn't do any campaigning, who had no campaign staff, but somehow ended up winning the nomination for the U.S. Senate for the Democratic Party in 2010 on 100% unverifiable touchscreen voting machines down there in the state of South Carolina. And by the way, those are going to be used again this year. Because the people who run elections in South Carolina don't give a damn about you. They don't give a damn about democracy. So that's what you guys have in store for you in South Carolina unless you do something about it. And, of course, you're not the only ones. Those same touchscreen voting systems are used all across the nation. Are you going to stand for it? Again? Couple of items here, so we'll talk. We'll have him top of the second hour. Thanks for checking in, Craig. I'll look forward to that. A couple of quick items here before we gotta go to the bottom of the hour. CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, came out with a scoring of Obama's job plan today. Found that the millionaire's surtax would raise $453 billion over the next 10 years. And that the jobs bill would cut the deficit. Okay, so the jobs bill would cut the deficit. The millionaire surtax would raise billions of dollars. Isn't that what the Tea Party is calling for? Isn't that what the Republicans were calling for? Jobs? They want jobs, right? Jobs, jobs, jobs. And, oh, cut that deficit. Well, that's what, of course, this would do. And what are the Republicans doing? They're blocking a legitimate vote on it. Because they don't want Barack Obama to succeed. And whatever you think about it, this is not in support, by the way, of Barack Obama. What I'm saying here is they will do anything to keep Obama from succeeding because they don't give a damn about this country. They're willing to see it go down in flames. They're willing to let you to see you lose your house, lose your job, lose your health insurance. They don't give a damn. And that's why people are marching in Wall Street. That's why people are rising up all around this country. Scott Walker, the governor of Wisconsin, here's an item. Just spent $60,000 on iPads. Now, remember that emergency budget that they had to take away rights from working people? They had to take away rights. They had to bring in the big government to take away rights from citizens to negotiate, to compete. This was a budget emergency. They had to do it. Well, now they've spent $60,000 on iPads, purchasing 73 tablets for an office that has 63 employees. That's for the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. You see, of course, that too was a lie. It was never about budgets. It was about big government taking away your rights, the rights of we the people. Are you pissed off yet, Tea Party? Are you ready to join the occupation now? Mitt Romney said today he wants to be elected so that he can restore military supremacy to the U.S. Hello? What world are you living in? No military supremacy already at the here in the U.S.? How much more supreme could we be, Mitt Romney? And oh, his foreign policy advisors, they're all from the George W. Bush administration. So you want more of that? You see why people are ticked off? You see why they are saying enough, enough, enough? Enough. The uprising continues right here on the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike. Greg Palast joins us next. No, I ain't no senator's son either. I ain't no fortunate son. I was not born like the Koch brothers into billions of dollars. Charles and David Koch, who want to take away all of the help that you might get from the government, to take away all of the regulations that keep you alive. You know, give you, you know, stuff like clean air, clean water. Who needs that, big government? No, we weren't born into wealth like the Kochs, who inherited their father's chemical and oil conglomerate. And yet they get to make the rules. You don't. Why? Because they have bought pretty damn near everyone in politics. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. My next guest has a book coming out November 14th, speaking about just these things. Of course, he has been speaking about these things for years. The rest of the nation is finally catching up with him and his reports on the Koch brothers and Koch industries and how they've been robbing us blind for years, robbing this nation blind. Buying votes, buying senators, buying congressmen, buying everything they need that you can't afford to buy. And it's getting worse in the wake of the Citizens United decision that allows guys like Charles and David Koch to give as much as they want. And by the way, they are now worth $50 billion. The two of them together, they made their personal wealth increased $18 billion over the last 3 years since Barack Obama has been in office. And instead of sending Barack Obama a thank you note, they want to send him a pink slip. They have gone to war with him, as you can read in my exclusives over at Mother Jones, two-part exclusive with those secret Coke tapes. Just hear what they're saying about Barack Obama. this terrible man who has catapulted them into, I mean, $18 billion they've made while they've been firing thousands of you people. You suckers. You chumps. Isn't that odd? I thought they were the job creators. My mistake. Anyway, here to talk about that, Greg Palast. You may have heard of him. He's an investigative reporter, New York Times best-selling author of The Best Democracy Money Can Buy and Armed Madhouse. His investigative reports are broadcast by BBC Television's Newsnight, and his new book, Vulture's Picnic, A Tale of Oil, Sex, Radiation, and Investigative Reporting, will be released by Penguin USA on November 14th. And he writes today at Truth Out about Uber vultures, the billionaires who would pick our president. And I'm guessing a couple of those billionaires are Charles and David Koch, but there are more. And he's here to talk about it. Hey, Greg, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Glad to be with you, Brad. I just hear you moaning about our job creators, like the Koch brothers.
Yeah.
You know, they've been creating. It's interesting. I've been investigating how they've been creating jobs for the last 15 years.
In the healthcare industry, taking care of the people they're killing, and go ahead.
Well, you know, they did hire a few people still doing industrial work. They hired truckers to actually what they were doing is they were the source of the $50 billion of Koch brothers' wealth.
Mm-hmm.
One-third of their stake, their initial stake, all of it was inherited from Daddy.
Right.
Daddy Koch, who's founded, by the way, the John Birch Society.
Right.
Though he himself made his money by cutting a deal, an oil refining deal with Joe Stalin.
Yes, I know.
Let's not talk about that. Okay, yes. Let's talk about how his sons, though, made money the old-fashioned way. They stole it from the Indians.
Literally. Yes, they did. Yes.
What they did was, and Charles and David, with their Operation Koch Industries, had a deal with the Osage Indian Reservation. That's where they got their oil,
mm-hmm.
where they took oil from the reservation. And they not like big pipes and stuff. These very, very poor Indians in Oklahoma, they had a bunch of wells over their property, and the trucks would actually come and take a few barrels a week and just collect it in a truck.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they would come and take, you know, 10, 15 barrels of oil and write down that they took 5 or 6 barrels of oil. Literally, they were just basically not paying the natives. It's the old game. You know, they were taking the oil and just not marking it down. And you say, okay, well, I mean, come on. Dave and Charles Koch were billionaires by this time already. They each worth about $1 billion each. Just mm-hmm. one, not 50. Just $1 billion each from Daddy.
This was back in the 90s,
early 80s. And what happened was they were taking, you know, a couple dollars here, a couple dollars there. It was, in fact, personally, I have witnesses. When I say I have witnesses, I spoke to the FBI agents. I spoke to the people in their company.
Mm-hmm.
I said Charles Koch, one of the, you know, the with his brother.
Mm-hmm.
But Charles Koch personally ordered the theft. He actually gathered his truckers together and said, "I want to see what they called it overage, and it was taking more than you're counting."
Right, I
want to see that overage. And so what happened was, now here's the thing: it was him personally. Now the story, I know Bloomberg just did a story on the Kochs. They mentioned that Koch Industries took oil and they paid a few. They had to pay back the Indians a few dollars, $25 million.
Well, because Greg, they were so they had a license. They were legally drilling there, but they were just mismeasuring how much they were taking out, right, on purpose to essentially skim $1.5 billion off the top, right?
And let's put it this way. If you work at a gas station, right,
mm-hmm.
and someone gives you give someone 8 gallons of oil
mm-hmm.
of gas, and you charge them 10. You do that a couple days, and you go to the hooskow.
Right.
But what about Charles Koch? This wasn't just something done at a low level, and they didn't know. Now understand what this involves, especially the price of oil in those days. It involved taking, you know, $15-$20 a week from some Indian family on a reservation. This is what, you know, this is their survival money. $15 or $20 a week, a billionaire personally did it. Now, he had an executive who was wired, who's wearing a wire.
Right.
Okay. And the executive talked about how he asked Coke, he said, you go to a can, for, you know, because after all, you go to, you know, prison. It's theft, right?
Right.
And, well, for you and me, it's theft. For the Cokes, it's job creating.
Just the day's
work.
I
confuse it.
Just
the
all
in
a day's work.
If it's over a billion, it's job creation. But, you know, if it's not a billion, so you would go to, so the guy, so to me, the interesting one is that Coke said, Charles Coke said, he said, why do you do this? Why take a couple bucks from Indians every week? And he said, because I want what everything that's coming to me, and that's all of it. And all of it means the White House or whatever he needs. So that's part of the game.
And so whatever happened, Greg, to that Charles Koch investigation? Because I think I recall that this was aired.
Right.
Some of this was on like 60 Minutes back in, what was it, 2002, 2003. Was there ever an investigation into this theft of oil? And
well,
why
yeah,
the hell is Charles not in jail?
By the way, back in 96, we filmed at BBC, and then in 98 for The Guardian.
Uh-huh.
What was left out of this story was that Coke personally ordered the theft. Obviously, his twin brother knew about it. No criminal charges. They didn't have to give back the $1.5 billion that they took in oil. The thing was, according to the FBI agents and others in the Justice Department,
yeah,
that indictments were prepared for Charles Koch and his brother, criminal charges for Charles, you know, cuff him, read him his rights, he's a thief, right?
Right.
And then, but they not only owned oil wells, they owned two senators, Dole and Nichols, of Kansas, because
right,
they're from Wichita. They're from Wichita, these guys. And they basically own these guys.
That's right.
And they grabbed, and Nichols and Dole made sure that the cuffs were off, and these guys got off totally scot-free. And that's why, I mean, FBI, that's why the FBI agents came to me and a couple of other reporters. By the way, I couldn't get the U.S. press interested in this. I couldn't take hostages to get this story. Remember, I printed the story about the theft by the Koch brothers in The Guardian in Britain.
Yeah, but, I know.
And, you know, in the U.S., for those who know Greg Palast, I write for the Guardian.
Right.
And in Britain, and you can hear from my accent, it's the only place I can get this information out. But there's a creepier...
No, I thought you were that British journalist that Karl Rove was talking about.
Yeah,
but that's... Okay.
Rove always talks about that British journalist.
That's right.
Because he's trying to take away my passport. I guess he can under Patriot Act 3 if you say too many things about the Kochs, they take away your passport, but and your citizenship. But I wanted to give you something special, Brad,
right,
that I hadn't put out in this article in Truth Out, which people should read, and I,
yep,
especially because it's a cute little video. And I do apologize in advance for the nipples in the video. I got a lot of complaints. Apparently, there's some nipples.
Now, see, you're just saying there's nipples in the video, so people are going to rush over there to watch it. Smartly done, Palast.
My nipples, and they're not going to.
Don't tell them that they're your nipples. Now nobody's going over there.
They aren't. That's why I got the complaint. But anyway, but the thing is, if you looked at the New York Times article about the billionaires, the Koch brothers,
mm-hmm,
a guy named Paul Singer, mm-hmm, who's, by the way, who's called the Vulture. I didn't give him that name.
Mm-hmm.
A guy I've been investigating for my book, Vulture's Picnic. His name is Paul the Vulture Singer. That's Koch. That's the Koch brothers' a political buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And Ken Langone, another political billionaire. And by the way, you know Ken Langone, Brad, because he was the guy, if you remember, you know, Americans who know me as the reporter who busted the story about how Catherine Harris,
right,
knocked off thousands of black folks off the voter rolls in Florida in 2000.
Florida 2000, yeah.
It was because I was doing an investigation of Langone.
Uh-huh.
And he was the money, one of the guys with a couple of other Republican bigs, behind the creation of Database Technologies, which is the company that came up with the scrub list with the black voters.
Where they knocked 20,000 supposed felons off the list, and most,
yeah,
or all of them were not felons at all. Ken Langone, by the way, I just want to point out, the founder of Home Depot.
Yeah, well, he likes to think of himself as, you know, the little, he likes to portray himself as a little hardware guy with the blue apron, you know, silly little screws and stuff. He's an investment banker who was, by the way, a guy named Elliot Spitzer busted,
yeah,
him for criminal conspiracy manipulation of the stock market. And then someone named Ken Langone had Elliot Spitzer followed. Now, I know that Elliot Spitzer was, you know, his extracurricular activities, you know, were a little bit dodgy.
Mm-hmm.
But how did that happen? There's a lot of dodgy characters, and called Vitter the, I can't use the word on the air, Senator Vitter,
yeah.
The Republican of Louisiana,
uh-huh.
who liked to be diapered
That's right.
By the Washington madam. He liked to run around in diapers.
Mm-hmm.
He's still in the Senate. Okay,
yes,
but Elliot Spitzer, Langone got him because it was Spitzer who nailed Langone. But it was Langone who, by the way, got off the charges because, after all, whose court is it? It's the guy that he made president with his scrub list.
Hang on.
Yeah.
Well, I got to take a quick break here. Greg Pallast.
Oh, yeah, there's more.
I know there is. We're coming back. We're going to get the rest of the story on Ken Langone. We're going to find out who this Paul the Vulture Singer is. You're listening to Brad on The Molloy Show with Greg Pallast. Stay with us.
I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine.
Welcome back to The Molloy Show, 52 minutes after the hour. Glad you can be with us. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Molloy, speaking with Greg Pallast, who has a new book coming out next month, November 14th. Pre-order now. Vulture's Picnic, A Tale of Oil, Sex, Radiation, and Investigative Reporting. I'm sure it will include nipples. That's what Greg wanted us to know. And Greg, can you order at GregPallast.com?
Yeah, or Amazon.com. Oh, I shouldn't give them a boost, but you know, but yeah, go to GregPallast.com.
There you go.
And you can also get a lot of the stories for free. Don't tell that to Amazon, though.
I will. Okay, yeah. Now listen, I want to make sure, because we're coming up at the top of the hour, so I'm make sure we get these in. Ken Langone, buddy of the Cokes, the founder of Home Depot, the guy who helped create the scrub list down in Florida, the felons scrub list down in Florida in 2000. Let's close the loop on him, and then we'll get over to Paul the Vulture Singer.
Yeah, I can say the Spitzer tried to close the loop on him, and I don't advise anyone else to. It was Langone who had him trailed and got him, and so Langone ended up getting out of his charge of conspiracy against the stock market.
They dropped the charges against him after they got Spitzer. Is that how?
Well,
it went?
Yeah, because what happened was that there was a technicality, and then of course, the replacement for Spitzer, Cuomo, was afraid to take any action against Langone.
Mm.
Got well rewarded by Mr. Langone, and ended up on his transition committee.
Mm. And all of those guys. Langone and the Cokes and Paul Singer. These were the
Paul
guys
Singer.
Who were working together to try to get Chris Christie, my old pal, to jump into the presidential race to save the Republican bacon.
That's right, because they're pretty desperate. They need to go back to be landlords of the White House. In the case of Paul the Vulture Singer, again, I didn't give him the name Vulture. He makes his money as he's a multi-billionaire who
mm-hmm.
got together with the Cokes and Langone. What he does is he buys up either countries that are diseased or industries that are diseased. Like, for example, when the asbestos industry was caught poisoning and killing its workers because they knew that stuff was murderous.
Right.
Langone bought up Owens Corning Company, which was worth next to nothing. So he bought it up for pennies.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went on the attack and said that 95% of the guys who were dying of asbestos poisoning were faking it. And he got some nutcase to actually get on television and agree with him. The nutcase, by the way, happened to be President George W. Bush, who this is the President of the United States. You
right.
got guys who are coughing their lungs out. You don't want to die of asbestosis. You drown in your own lungs, and your lungs turn to mush. It's not a nice way to go. And Bush was saying, if these guys are dying, it wasn't because of his number one donor's poison. So when they changed this so-called tort reform,
mm-hmm.
Ken Langone and Paul the Vulture Singer and Ken Lay. Ken Lay died.
Right.
Number one donor of the Republican Party became Paul Singer, who also put his money behind the Swift boat. He got rewarded. Tort reform, so-called, reduced the amount of damages to be paid to the people who were dying. They were held out. They had to accept whatever pennies were thrown their way, and therefore Singer took a company that he paid nothing for, basically, and sold it for billions. That was his big score.
Because he was able to flip it after that, after he reduced the payouts for asbestos. And he's done the same thing with countries, right?
Yes, he took the case of Peru and the one of the poorest countries in the world, the Republic of Congo, and for $10 million, less than $10 million, he bought up some old debts of theirs, long forgotten, one of the poorest nations in the world. He's now demanding that they give him $400 million for his $10 million debt. He has stopped all trade with the country, and when I say, I mean the Deputy Secretary, General Secretary of the United Nations, Winston Tubman. I said, if I could speak to Paul Singer and the guys working with him, what would you say to him? And this is the UN official. He said, tell Singer and these guys, do you know that you are killing babies? Because he literally, and this guy is a very, you know, he's a very straight diplomat. He said, but this is a baby killer. What he's done is he's taken, not only taken away their milk, what he's done is, there is no, the Congo is absolutely destitute, and they can't sell anything to anyone because it's literally grabbed on the high seas by this legalized pirate. I got to tell you that while in the United States he's allowed to operate, in Britain, he went to Britain, in Europe, and now in Hong Kong, even China has said that he may not operate there. He is basically abandoned, a pirate.
Oh, but
everywhere else in the world. But here he's the number one donor to the Republican Party.
The welcome mat is out for him here. Yeah, and he's helping to choose the next president of the United States. That's just a taste of what you're going to get in Greg Palast's new book, Vulture's Picnic. Check out his new article at Truth Out and GregPalast.com. Hey, brother, thank you much. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you out here in L.A. soon.
You too. Bye.
All right, much more straight ahead. Brad, in for Mike Malloy. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. 6 minutes after the hour, Brad Friedman broadcasting from the left coast for Mike Malloy one more night. Mike will be back to occupy your public airwaves this Monday. Until then, you got me occupying your public airwaves as Occupation Nation continues. Thanks for joining us, and do stop by our chat room at bradblog.com. Very lively discussion going on over there, as usual. You can also tweet me at the Brad Blog. And once again, in the third hour, we will be taking your calls from the occupiers, from the occupation, and of course from those who support, and of course from those who detract. Because why? We believe in democracy here. So in that third hour, next hour, 877-520-1150, spread the word, 877-520-1150. It's your opportunity to use your public airwaves. That's right. You heard me. Your public airwaves, not the corporate airwaves. They ain't owned by the corporations. The corporations think they own them, but they don't. You own them. That would be you, we the people. So use them before you lose them more than you already have. 877-520-1150 will be our phone number in that hour. I might get to some calls this hour. Going to be joined in a little bit by Ernie Canning. Eric Cantor was the first Republican member of the Republican leadership to come out today with a statement about the occupations. He said, he doesn't like it one bit. Imagine that. I wonder why Eric Cantor, Republican from Virginia, doesn't like these occupations, doesn't like Americans standing up for America. He liked it plenty when it was the Republicanist Tea Parties. But now that it's actual Americans actually fighting back against the abuse by corporate America, fighting back against the rich getting richer on the back of the working people. Now he doesn't like it. He says that would be that's pitting Americans against Americans. Oh, the irony. I know those Republicans, they hate to see Americans pitted against other Americans, don't they? Are you kidding me? No, I guess he's not. But there's a reason that people are standing up. There's a reason people are fighting for their democracy. There's a reason people question whether they can actually have democracy at the voting booth. They keep trying. But, you know, guys like Eric Cantor want to keep people from voting. This incredible story. I have been talking about this for years, of course, at Bradblog and whenever I'm here on the Mike Malloy Show. But we are seeing an unprecedented now assault on voters by Republicans against Democratic voters. My coverage of elections is not about right or left. But when you've got someone on the right, as we do with these Republicans now who are passing these voter suppression bills, I'm calling them out. And that's exactly what they're doing around the country in state after state after state. These photo ID restrictions at the polling place meant to keep elderly, students, minorities, in other words, the folks who are unlikely to have state-issued photo ID, who also coincidentally happen to be Democrats, go figure, to keep them from being able to cast their legal vote. Disenfranchising Americans. And if Republicans were being disenfranchised like this, you would hear me yelling and screaming just the same. Here is a woman, 96 years old. Tony, I think we have this some of this audio here. I'm going to play some of this. And then we're going to show you how this works when it comes to voting machines in a second. But this is a woman, 96 years old, in the state of Tennessee. African-American woman. She's been voting for 70 years. And now, since Tennessee is one of about a dozen states who have passed these, where Republicans have come to power and passed these photo ID, polling place photo ID restrictions, she's not going to be able to vote. She went out. She tried. She tried several times to get these so-called free IDs that they are giving to these millions of Americans who don't have them. She tried to get one, 96 years old. She had been fighting to vote during the Jim Crow days. And now, unless something changes, she, 96 years old, will not be able to cast a vote next November. She was on with Al Sharpton last night on MSNBC. Here's a short clip from that conversation.
Even during Jim Crow days, you didn't have any problems voting in Tennessee?
No, I haven't had any problems at all until this time. This is the only time that I've had problems.
Do you feel that this kind of law is something that you and others that have lived through the Jim Crow and other eras, do you feel that this is something that you never thought at this stage in your voting life that you would have to face? Are you surprised that they would change and make these kind of strict requirements at this stage of the game?
No, I never thought it would be like this, ever.
She never thought it would be like this, ever. 96-year-old African-American woman, Dorothy Cooper, after voting for 70 years, she may not be able to cast her vote next year. I'm trying to contain my rage. Thanks, Tennessee GOP. Man, I hope that law is blocked. But it's not just access to the polls that is a concern for some 5 million voters, by the way, who will face with reduced early voting hours, restrictions on voter registration, restrictions on casting your vote on election day at the polls if you don't happen to have a driver's license and can't get one for free because Dorothy Cooper, I can't recall what the problem was here. She couldn't find her, she had inability to produce her marriage certificate. That's why she was denied an ID. But it's not just the front end where they are gaming the system to keep you from casting her vote. But, Desi adds that her married name, Dorothy Cooper's married name, was not on her birth certificate. I guess she had her birth certificate, but it's different than her married name. But she couldn't produce her marriage certificate. So she's going to be kept from voting in a democracy? A supposed democracy? Well, meantime, out in Pennsylvania and elsewhere around the nation, voters who can get to the polls are going to be forced to vote on 100% unverifiable voting systems. Touchscreen voting systems. That you can't verify a single vote has ever been recorded accurately in any election for any candidate or any initiative on any ballot in any election. Any vote has ever been recorded accurately as per the voter's intent. Has it? Probably. Can you demonstrate it? Can you prove it? Is there any evidence for it? None. Zero. Well, last May, I think it was May 17th, in Venango County, they were just the latest of many counties, many states, to have problems with the ESNS iVotronic touchscreen voting machine. 100% unverifiable voting system. They had problems with it. Votes were reportedly flipping, freezing up. Voters couldn't vote on them. Well, the county stepped up and said, no, you know what? We're not going to use these right now until we can figure out what the hell went wrong. We're moving to paper ballots next November, and we're going to submit these machines to an independent study by two Pittsburgh College Carnegie Mellon computer scientists to see what the hell went wrong. Well, just as we're starting the show tonight, we got a call from Craig Adams, the chairman of the Venango County, Pennsylvania Election Board, the man who thankfully stood up and said, no, we're going to send these machines out to see what the hell is wrong and vote on verifiable paper. He happened to call in. He saw we wrote an article about this last week at bradblog.com, and Craig Adams joins us, the chairman of the Venango County, Pennsylvania Elections Board. Craig Adams, welcome, sir, to the Mike Malloy Show.
Well, thank you, Brad. This is really a pleasure.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here, sir, and thank you for calling in, and thank you for standing up for the voters out there in Venango. What is the progress so far? What are you learning from this independent investigation, and why did you decide why were you rallying for so long to move to paper ballots and examine what was really going on with these voting systems?
Well, basically, it started with an election in 2008 when the machines, the DREs, were basically showing a large number of undervotes, and then there were candidates for positions in the county, and they had zero votes, but there was like 250 or 260 undervotes.
Wait a minute. They had there were people who had zero votes on the ballot?
Zero votes.
Is that normal?
No. No, it is not normal.
Okay.
And so that was a red flag. And
yeah.
And unfortunately, at that time, under Pennsylvania law, the county commissioners are the election board, except if they are in a year that they are all running for re-election, of which that is 2011 in Venango County. I was appointed by the senior judge of Venango County as a member of the election board. I am nothing but a bald-headed, fat guy, independent person that, you know, I am a Republican. We have our vice chair. Her name is Martha Breen. She is a Republican. And then we have an absolutely phenomenal lady. Her name is Eleanor Miller, who is the Democrat. So, because Venango County is mainly Republican.
Right.
That's why there's two.
Right.
But we were named as the election board because the county commissioners were running for re-election. They had to have an independent board.
Right.
So, in turn, in the May election, we had problems with the DREs. We had
And so people know, DRE is direct recording electronic. Usually a touchscreen machine. Go ahead.
That is correct. That is correct. Which most of them can be pinpointed to a calibration situation where you would vote for one person and it would jump up to another or down to another.
Yep.
And in turn, when the voter hit the red button, it said vote or confirm, hit the red button and leave. But my question was, and once we found out that we had, first of all, we had a very low voter turnout, less than 20%, and we had an exorbitant over 17% undervote in the entire election.
And that was unusual. You did not used to get that prior to moving to these ESNS Ivotronic machines, right?
That is correct.
And listen, go ahead quickly, Craig, because I'm up against the clock. I'm sorry.
So
you've decided for now, at least for November, to go to paper ballots. Thank you.
That is correct.
And you're going to have these guys. Now, have you heard back yet from the computer scientists who are examining doing this forensic exam to figure out what happened back there in the last election?
No. The forensic audit was done on September the 26th. We had the county commissioners and our solicitor, who is also the solicitor for the election board. They delayed and delayed and delayed. We had two contracts, and we had problems with indemnification because these guys are doing this for free.
And why would anybody, I know that there was a political fight to not allow them to examine these machines independently. What was the reason that people were giving for fighting against independently examining these voting systems?
They know there's something wrong.
They sure as hell do, Craig Adams. And thank you for helping us to begin to get to the bottom of what's wrong. I also want to point folks to, I believe I have the website right, votepa.org. Yeah. Mary Beth Kuznick is doing a terrific job, has been on this fight for a long time. And, Craig, I really appreciate what you're doing here. I'm sorry I got to give you short shrift here. Didn't know we were going to hear from you, but I'm delighted we did. And I'm going to point folks also to Bradblog.com to read more. These are the same machines, by the way, the ESNS Ivotronics, the same one that somehow elected Alvin Green, a guy who nobody heard of, down in South Carolina. They're the same machines that were used in Clay County, Kentucky, to actually change votes of voters after they left the booth by election officials who were doing this, by the way, Craig. And they are the same type of machines that we talked about earlier in this week with Dr. Roger Johnston of Argonne National Labs. He was able to hack these touchscreen machines with $26 in parts such that he could take over the machine entirely from up to half a mile away. So, there's a lot to learn there. Listen, I hope, give Desi your number if you could, if you haven't already, because I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about this. But, Craig, thank you for what you're doing out there. Really appreciate it.
Well, I'll tell you, I really thank you for the privilege of getting this up.
Thank you, sir. And as I always say, this ain't about right and left. This is about right and wrong. Craig Adams, chairman of the Venango County, Pennsylvania Election Board. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Much more straight ahead. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us. Brad Friedman from Bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. You know, nobody ever calls Bradblog that liberal blog when I'm out there fighting for guys like Joe Miller, the Republican Senate candidate up there in Alaska when I was fighting for his election. Or when we heard from Republican election director just now, Craig Adams, out in Venango County, Pennsylvania. I will fight for them and for every Republican's right to vote, just as I will for Democrats, independents, and everybody else. Billy from Wimberley, Texas, called in and said, how do you propose to count ballots without computers? Oh, you count them by hand. How's that? Brad?
You put the load right on me. Something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Yep, look what's going down. Understand what's going down. There is something happening here. The people are beginning finally now to rise up and to hit the streets. I have been sitting in for Malloy here now for years, actually, at this point. And, you know, pretty much every time I come on the air, I have to say, oh, boy, what are we going to do now? What's the solution now? Now what do we do? Because it doesn't get better. It gets worse. And our elected officials, you know, no matter who they are, it just, it seems like they are so unbelievably out of touch with the American people that you wonder, you know, what now? What next? How do we get out of this mess? So the fact that the people are standing up now that are hitting the streets and not the, you know, the chumps and the dupes of the Tea Party who have been scammed and lied to, but, you know, real Americans standing up, you know, they're not Democrats, they're not Republicans, they're just standing up, they're just saying enough. Not a moment too soon, guys. Thank you. We're going to take your calls in the next hour. We want to hear from the occupiers. Your last chance while I'm here anyway. 877-520-1150 will be our phone number. We want to hear from Occupation Nation. Use your public airwaves to let America know. This is a national radio broadcast. Let America know why you're out in that street, why you are so angry. We'd love to hear from you. Before I go to my guest to talk about this very thing, going to go to Ernie Canning momentarily, but just a couple of points of business here since I ran long on that last segment and I had to get out too quick. Number one, Pennsylvania, I had pointed folks due to what you heard Craig Adams talking about, the Republican election director out there from Venango County calling for moving now to paper ballots, at least for the moment, fighting the powers that be to examine why the hell votes were flipping, candidates were receiving zero votes on their electronic ESNS iVotronic touchscreen voting systems out there. I had pointed people for more information over to votepa.org. It's actually votepa.us. Votepa.us. Mary Beth Kuznick is a great election integrity advocate. I believe she's the founder of Vote PA. Go on out there and support what it is that they're doing, because it's not just in Venango County. Those types of machines are used by 20% to 30% of America in next in the 2012 presidential election. 100% unverifiable voting systems that have failed time and time again. And because I ran short on time, when Billy from Wimberley, Texas, had called in, we didn't get to the call before he hung up, but he wanted to know how we, you know, propose to count ballots without computers. Count them with your eyeballs. They still work, I hope, for most folks. And as we discussed with Nancy Toby last night from New Hampshire, where they count 40% of the towns count at the polling place on election night in front of the public, not in the back rooms. We're not talking about, you know, Chicago in the 60s. We're talking about publicly counted paper ballots on election night at the polls after they close with everyone watching, video cameras rolling, and results posted at the precinct. Decentrally, before those paper ballots move anywhere. You can get more information out of Nancy Toby's book, Hands-On Elections. So look up Nancy Toby, Hands-On Elections, an informational handbook for running real elections using real paper ballots counted by real people. Okay. Now, let me go on over now to Ernie Canning. Ernie Canning, of course, he's an active member of the a California bar, state bar since 1977. He's received an undergraduate and graduate degree in political science, as well as a Juris Doctor, and he is also a Vietnam vet. 4th Infantry, Central Highlands, 1968. But, of course, clearly, his most important and impressive achievement is that he is a regular contributor to the Brad Blog, bradblog.com, as our senior legal analysis analyst. He joins us now right here on the Mike Malloy Show. Hey, Ernie, how are you, brother?
I'm fine. Came in to occupy your phone line.
Good occupation, sir. Occupy our public airwaves. Now, are you on a, you're not on a speakerphone there, are you?
No, I'm not.
You're just in an echoey room. I need to buy you a carpet or some curtains or something out there.
Well, I had to close up this room because my neighbor let the dogs out next door, and I don't think you want to hear them over the air.
What, who let the dogs out?
Yeah, who let the dogs out?
Well, listen, Ernie, you and I, we have been talking about this this uprising that's going on, and I know you've been working on a piece, actually a couple of pieces, concerning this uprising, and it's kind of hard to get one's brain around because there are so many ideas wrapped into this occupation that we're seeing across this nation now. But it's also moving and changing so quickly. So you and I, Ernie, we were talking about some of the ideas as you're working on a couple of these pieces. But let's talk about, because the mainstream media seems to say, well, what is going on here? What are their demands? They don't have clear demands. Therefore, we don't know what the hell to make of them. Well, I think perhaps their demands, for a start, are built in the demonstration of the movement, the reason why they are there. That's where we will eventually, I think, find the demands. But I know you wanted to talk about what are the reasons, the political conditions under which these great, brave Americans are now taking to the streets, as you see it.
Well, you know, I was looking around for a succinct statement that would encapsulate what this is all about. And I found one by a guy named Ben Mansky, who's the executive director of the Liberty Tree Foundation.
We love Ben. We've had him on this show.
Well, he said this, and I'm quoting, "The promise of the United States is democracy. The reality is that corporate elites rule. The contradiction between the promise and reality of America has produced a movement to make the promise the new reality." End of quote.
Mm-hmm.
And that pretty much sums it up. But what you need to understand, it because, you know, I'm hearing a lot of, particularly from the mainstream media, trying to compare this to the Tea Party. And there are certain things, the underlying conditions are the same that gave rise to both, but the difference between the two is fundamental. It's interesting because I'm looking, you know, I looked at a piece by Chris Hedges where he was actually describing the Occupy Wall Street as a conservative movement in the sense that they're trying to restore the rule of law, and that the real radicals are what he calls the criminal class that sees power.
Well, let me just respond to that. I agree. You know, the fact is, and this, as you know, Ernie, writing a Brad blog, this is a bugaboo of mine. When we hear the media and really even Democrats falling for this scam, calling these right wingers conservative, they're not conservative. These are the guys who are looking the other way. These are the guys who I can't remember what the congressman was asked today, you know, about, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to investigate the Koch brothers now that we have evidence that they've been bribing foreign countries, that they've been trading with Iran and everything else? He had nothing to say. He didn't want to follow the rule of law. He's not conservative. The 8 years of the Bush administration, when they were spending on everything with, you know, without paying for it, that's not conservative. These guys are right wingers. There's nothing conservative about them. The conservatives are the ones who are out in the street calling for the rule of law, calling for their, you know, to end the corporate takeover of our government and restore the constitutional principles. I think those are the real conservatives. So I'm going to agree with Chris Hedges on that.
I agree with him too, and in adding to the, you know, what you're mentioning, the Koch brothers, we've done a few pieces on Clarence Thomas and this whole problem of you know, a two-tiered system of justice in which you have impunity at the top,
mm-hmm.
and probably the most draconian set of laws for the people on the bottom anywhere to be found. We have,
yep.
you know, a larger prison population than anywhere else on earth.
Mm-hmm.
But let me get back to the
yes.
underlying conditions that gave rise to both the Tea Party and Occupy Wall Street.
Okay.
And the critical issue has to do with what has become a dangerous level of inequality. And I went to Kevin Phillips, who wrote a book, Wealth and Democracy, and this was actually back in 1999, to give you an idea of just how the scope of the disparity. He said that the net worth of three individuals, which was Bill Gates, Paul Allen, and Warren Buffett at that time, was larger than the gross domestic product of the world's 41 poorest nations and their 550 million people. Now, when you start wrapping your head around that, it's mind-boggling
mm-hmm.
that three people could have that much wealth. You did a piece where you talked about between 2009 and now, the Koch brothers have gone from 17 billion each to 25 billion each, and
right.
they're both tied for fourth.
Right. Oh, they're doing great. The corporate profits are through the roof. All-time record corporate profits, even while, you know, they're telling the working man to get lost while they're laying people off. Something has gone terribly awry.
Well, and where it comes in, and it was interesting because I remember you had a caller the other night that was complaining. He said, oh, Michael Moore's a hypocrite. He makes money. And you said, well, our problem isn't people having money. It's what they're doing with the money. And that, again, gets to Kevin Phillips. He's quoting a political scientist, Samuel Huntington. What he says is, money becomes evil not when it is used to buy goods, but when it is used to buy power. Economic inequalities become evil when they are translated into political inequalities, and political inequality in turn leads to more dangerous economic inequality. And that's what that has created is the greatest level of economic distress since the Great Depression.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a reality that has created fear, anger, and a profound sense of betrayal by people all over this country and frankly, all over the world. And that sense of displacement and betrayal provides the underlying dynamic for Occupation Wall Street, but it also provided a fertile ground that could be exploited by billionaire sociopaths like the Koch brothers, in which they create this Tea Party, which is a top-down, tightly controlled movement. And the unfortunate thing is that the people that make up the Tea Party, the difference between the two movements is really the one word, knowledge. You have the people in Occupation Wall Street that are incredibly aware of what is taking place of 1% controlling 99%.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Tea Party, what Lenin called useful idiots. And I know you did a piece, a short documentary that you did some time ago called, I think, Rise of the Teabags,
yep.
two-part piece. And the amazing thing is the level of misinformation. I remember there was a lady and a man saying, oh, we can't have a government-controlled healthcare system. And you said, well, then why don't we get rid of Medicare and the VA? And you know, they got real upset with you for suggesting that because they had no clue that Medicare and the VA are a form of government-run healthcare.
No, they didn't. And listen, Ernie, I got to get to a break here momentarily. We'll come back. We're speaking with Ernest Canning, attorney and ace Bradblog.com contributor. All of his reports and essays and editorials are really well worth reading and informative to me, certainly, and I suspect they will be to you. We're going to speak more about this and about the difference between the Tea Party and the Occupation Nation and where they are the same. I don't think it's that they're dumb, the Tea Partiers. I believe it's that they have been purposely misinformed and disinformed by people who are playing them for chumps. Not so with the occupiers. We'll talk about that with Ernest Canning when we come back. And then your calls at 877-520-1150. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Yeah, yeah, that's what it is.
Well, I've been down so very damn
This country has been beaten down for so long by so many people, by the corporatists who have taken over our government. They're mad as hell, and they are not going to take it anymore. That's it. Brad, in for Mike Malloy, speaking with Ernie Canning, attorney and top-notch ace, Brad Blog contributor, writer over there. Go check out his work. All right, Ernie, we've got just a few minutes left here, but and we were talking about the differences and, I guess, what's the commonalities between the Tea Party and the Occupation Uprising. And you argued that the Tea Party folks are not, well... Did you say they were not that bright or that they were misinformed?
No, I said that they were misinformed, mm-hmm. and I think, when you have essentially this right-wing echo chamber out there that is misinforming them 24/7,
yep.
It's not a shock. They are being manipulated. They don't realize it. And I really think that the billionaire class is deeply afraid not only of what amounts to a genuine democratic uprising by the people that are knowledgeable about what's going on, but that the anger that they've created in the Tea Party movement, if you want to call it a movement, is one that will turn back against them if these people learn that they have been deceived. And
yep.
The going from an uprising to, and I wanted to get one more quote. It was from Tony Benn, a former British MP, that he said, he was interviewed by Michael Moore in Sicko, and he said this: "I think democracy is the most revolutionary thing in the world, more revolutionary than socialist ideas, because you have the power to use it to meet the needs of your community. If the poor in the U.S. and Britain turned out to vote for people who represent their interests, it would be a real democratic revolution." And you know, the thing about looking at the distinctions with the Tea Party, and a lot of it, you know, I intend to set those videos that you had up again, mm-hmm. and compare them to this. I mean, when you did your piece about the Tea Party, you see these people arriving in these custom painted buses.
That's, you know, right. And so, folks, you can go to Brad Blog or YouTube, Rise of the Tea Bags. You'll enjoy
exactly.
it. It's quite funny. Anyway, yes.
The next thing you see is this fawning coverage by the corporate media of the Tea Party, mm-hmm. as compared to the reactions, which went from non-coverage to denigration, mm-hmm. of the anti-corporate Occupation Wall Street movement by the corporate-owned media, which you can expect. And I think the thing that people need to understand is that if this becomes a real democratic revolution, moves beyond an uprising, that we don't need the corporate media. You know, we should pressure them, but the corporate media can be expected to act as they always act. There are so many other means around the corporate media, and the problem is that the corporate media is operating under the misperception that they're still in charge.
You're absolutely right. They are playing catch up, and they are. We will work around them. As a matter of fact, I attached a video to a report of yours today at Brad Blog, a report from a citizen journalist who's been covering Occupy LA. She may be calling in here next hour. We'll find out. Because you know what? The hell with the corporate media. They have been complicit in this, in screwing this thing up, in treating this as politics as usual. This is not politics as usual, and the citizens are taking this nation back. Ernie Canning, really appreciate all your great work at Brad Blog and taking the time out to speak with us tonight. And much more from Ernie in the days ahead over at Brad Blog. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Persevere.
All right. Have no choice. We are going to come back with the occupation calls and whatever else is on your mind for the entire hour. 877-520-1150. Line up now. I want to hear from the occupiers. 877-520-1150. These are your public airwaves. Occupy them. Brad, in for Mike Malloy.
Thank you.
This is my final hour of occupation right here on the Mike Malloy Show, at least for a while. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy, 6 minutes after the hour. And, wow, it's been a hell of a week. The uprising continues. Of course, it is I, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow and occupier from bradblog.com. Here for one more hour. We're throwing open the lines to anything you want to talk about, of course, but also specifically, I've been asking all week for occupiers to call in during the third hour at 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150. Are you an occupier? If so, why? Do you support the occupiers? If so, why? Do you oppose the occupiers? If so, why? I'd love to hear from you. 877-520-1150. Or if there's any other anything else you want to use your public airwaves for, because these are yours, you could try to do that as well as we occupy your public airwaves. All right, let's see. Our lines are absolutely packed here right now, so let me clear a few of them by getting to some callers. Oh, and by the way, our chat room is still open at bradblog.com, and it will remain open a few minutes after the show, and I may come on there again on the video to say hello, as I traditionally do after each show, strip off all my clothes and parade around in front of the video camera. So you won't want to miss that. And you can also tweet me now or whenever at the Brad Blog. I would love to hear from you there as well. All the business out of the way? All right, let's roll to these very busy phones, 877-520-1150. Colleen from Sonoma County has been holding for a while. Thank you for doing that, Colleen, and welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi, so nice to speak with you.
Great, thank you for calling in. You're a candidate for Senate out here in California?
I am California's constitutional candidate for peace.
A constitutional candidate for peace. Imagine that. And and so you're running against who and when?
I'm not running against anyone. I'm running for California, but it happens to be the seat that Feinstein is continuing to occupy.
Uh-huh.
And I can testify to the power of the public airwaves because in 2006, Cindy Sheehan was going to challenge her and decided not to. Mm-hmm. So when she finally got off the fence, there was only 3 months left. Mm. And with less than $5,000, really no help, and working only part-time, I was able to get almost 200,000 votes.
Mm.
And that was, a lot of that was because I met Mike Malloy at the Democratic Convention, and he had me on his show a couple of times. And so I started receiving donations from across the country because they wanted to unseat Feinstein and Lieberman that mm-hmm. particular election.
Nice. And so Feinstein is up again now in 2012 already?
Yes, and she's not doing very well, and they aren't even discussing any primary challengers. And because it's an open primary, mm-hmm. and because I'm not just a Democrat, I'm ultra-progressive, mm-hmm. Say so far left that I'm right, I consider myself omnipartisan. So I really am interested in having the platform that the people want to culminate by going on a listening tour and finding out what everyone's top five most important ideas are for the sitting House and Senate members. If they want to keep their seat, they need to take action now, not on promises.
I love it. Let's give out your website. So it's Colleen. Your last name is Fernald. Is that spelled
yes.
right here? Okay, Colleen Fernald. What is your website?
It's campaignforpeace.org,
mm-hmm.
and until I get the funds to develop it, we'll have the system to put everyone's top five together and see what the our consensus of our most important top five issues are. Right now, I'm just taking everyone's ideas individually, but I hope to have it developed to be really robust in a way that we can see what everyone else's priorities are. And the idea is, what's working really well that you want to keep going? What's sort of working, and you might suggest some improvements, and then what's not working at all that we need to defund, particularly I think the most important is unconstitutional war. And I'd really like to encourage, I appreciate what everyone is doing to make a difference. And I think it's a little bit misdirected going to Wall Street, because it's Congress that enabled this. Mm-hmm. So I'd really like to see them go to D.C. Mm-hmm. Or if they can't do that, go to your local representatives, mm-hmm. and look to what on citiesforpeace.org, where 300 cities, counties, and states put forth resolutions, bring the troops home, bring the money home for the Bush campaign, but not so much so for Obama. And again, it's not just bringing them home. It's ending this policy of unconstitutional war.
And I hear you, Colleen. And I don't hate to cut you off, but I got so many people here. But you know what? I'm with you. I think you're absolutely right. As far as, you know, I support the folks down there in Wall Street. But the fact is, Wall Street is just getting away with what they can get away with. The people who are going to keep them from doing that, other than we the people, are the people who, you know, write the laws and vote in the laws. And those folks are in D.C. and they are occupying D.C. Go to OccupyWashingtonDC.org. That happens to be where Mike Malloy is this week. He was helping to kick off those demonstrations out there. But yes, those are the people who either need to change the rules or they get changed. Colleen, I got to run. I really appreciate your call. Colleen Fernald from the Constitutional... What's the party? Damn it. Constitutional... Party
candidate for peace.
There we go.
I'd like to make it a political action committee that everyone who's going to uphold their oath will sign on to it, and then voters will commit to only voting for candidates for peace.
She's running for Congress out here in for Senate, U.S. Senate out here in California. CampaignForPeace.org for more information. Thanks, Colleen. I appreciate it. Thank you for stepping up and running for office, too.
Thank you, Brad.
All right. Take care. Let me go to, we'll go to Dave. Here we go. Dave in Chicago. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Dave, what's up?
Hey, thanks for having me, Brad. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. Are you an occupier in Chicago?
Yeah, I'm not one of the hardcore, but I've definitely been out there most of the days. We've been out since the 23rd. 24/7, somebody's been out there.
And why are you out there? Why did you decide to go?
Well, the shortest answer I can give is that the precariousness of people's lives in this society are general, pervasive, and permanent, and so our response has to be. And it has to be beautiful, too. Jesse Jackson came out and spoke at our General Assembly tonight, which is bracing. It's great to have his support. There's a lot of people out there that need you, Mike Malloy listeners, to come out, Jackson and LaSalle in Chicago, and talk to these kids. A lot of them don't know what's going on. A lot of them just feel deeply that there's something wrong. And there's a lot of folks who are like Ron Paulites and libertarians and stuff. Well, it's cool to have them there. Let's convert them, folks, you know? And Brad, you're doing a great job, man. Anything else you need? I'm eating Chicago pizza right now, man.
Oh, man.
I wish I could share a piece with you.
Oh, brother, you're killing me. But we're going for pizza after this, so it's not
right,
Chicago pizza. But thanks for rubbing that in, Dave. Hey, thanks, brother. Is there a website out there for the Chicago occupation that you recall?
Yeah, it's OccupyChi.org, OccupyChi.
OccupyChi.org. Thank you, brother. Keep up the good fight, and thanks for checking
you
in
too,
with us tonight. All right. Man, these phones are totally full here. 877-520-1150. I'm going to try to get to as many as I can. Where are we here? Till in, here there we go, in Austin, Texas. Hey, Till, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Thank you. And I'd have to say this is the only occupation that I support.
Wait, what's the only occupation you support?
Occupy the Nation.
I gotcha. Okay, I see.
And,
yeah.
And I'm occupying Earth from my home.
Uh-huh.
And I'm kind of enthusiastically anticipating a repeat of history.
Yeah.
Like it does sometimes, going back about 235 years, 3 months, and 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And this time, I hope maybe we can do it a little better.
Not that you're keeping track or anything, but yeah. So you'd like to see another American Revolution? What do you call why do we need one in your best 30 seconds, Till?
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, first we need to impose the Declaration of Independence, which is, should be there 24/7 all the time, and just to put a pause on government, basically,
mm-hmm.
put things in autopilot, reorganize things, And, you know, I'm not like I have the, you know, figured out how to do it, but I think that's what we have to do. And one of the things we have to keep in mind is that neither corporations nor governments can perform actions that result in net harm to people or the environment, period.
What a crazy revolutionary idea. Till, I appreciate the call. Do you know what the website is for the Austin occupation down there?
I'm afraid I don't.
Okay, somebody will find it. I ran a great sign from the Occupy Austin today at Bradblog. It says, "I'll believe corporations are people when Rick Perry executes one of them."
Yes, I heard that one.
Yeah,
I love it.
I do too. Thanks, Till. I appreciate the call. Appreciate
Thank
your
you,
occupation. Let me go to Matt in San Francisco. Hey, Matt, welcome to the Malloy Show, and thanks for calling back there. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Brett. Thank you very much. I'm a Ron Paul supporter. I am on the original right-wing Tea Party movement, and I want to tell you right now, the Tea Party movement was co-opted by the neocons.
Yep.
It absolutely was.
I agree.
And I would love to see a Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich ticket for president and vice president.
Bring it. You know, Matt, and I've been writing about that for years. You guys were out there in 2007. It wasn't about Republicanism. It was about the Constitution. It was about getting out of foreign wars. You were, you know, willing to call George Bush out for being a criminal. And so you guys are owed a great deal of debt for that. And, yeah, those Republicanists really co-opted your Tea Party. And
yeah, absolutely they did, because I'll tell you, I support Ron Paul because, you know, I also am an advocate for people with serious mental health issues. I believe in a social safety net, so I do disagree with Ron Paul on some issues. But Ron Paul is the only one who believes in freedom and Constitution. Like I say, Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich, I go all the way with that, because I'm sitting here, I'm burning my minutes, I'm unemployed, I'm 45 years old, but I believe, I love your blog, I love Mike Malloy, and I support the people on Wall Street, but I want to tell you, we have to include everybody. You got to make sure to include everybody in that.
I agree, Matt. Get out to that Occupy San Francisco. Bring your message and bring the real Tea Party peeps, not the dupes and chumps who fell for the Republican deal.
Absolutely dupes and chumps. You're 100% right. The neocons took it over, and it's a shame.
It is. Boy, I got to get to a break here, Matt, but I do appreciate your message. I hear you. And get out to the occupation and make sure everyone hears you. Because, you know, and actually make sure that the folks in the Tea Party, the fake Tea Party, hear you, because they're the ones who have
totally
been
fake. We want Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich.
They
that
have been
Tea Party is not the real Tea Party.
No, they have been lied to. And there's a lot of people in that Tea Party who I believe would be with you, would be with the occupiers. Thanks, Matt. I got to get to a break. Appreciate it. Keep raising hell out there. All right.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, brother. We're going to come back with more of your Occupation Nation right here on the Mike Malloy Show. There's a few lines you can try to get in, and we'll try to get through as many as we can. 877-520-1150. And here I thought it was going to be quiet on a Friday night. Never underestimate the American people. Brad, in for Mike.
I say I'm going to get high. Must a man walk down before he's called a man? Tell me, how many seas must a white dove sail?
All right, welcome back to your Mike Malloy Show on your public airwaves. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. In for just a few more minutes. I'm going to try to get to everybody who's on hold right now, if I can. So try to keep your comments as tight, as sharp, as short as you can. We're hearing from occupiers and others why you support the occupation, why you are against the occupation. And, of course, some other folks have some other thoughts and questions on some other things. Try to get to everybody. 877-520-1150. Mike in Salt Lake. Hey, Mike, are you occupying Salt Lake tonight?
No, but I did yesterday. I participated in the march. And the reason why I went out there, Brad, was just to let people know that in the last 30 years, the American worker has taken a bad beating. It started when Reagan broke the Air Traffic Controllers Union. He essentially demasculated the unions. Then came along Bill Clinton with his free trade agreements, NAFTA, the SHAFTA, the WTO, and GATT. And then George Bush II, you know, he was for central free trade agreements. And now Barack Obama, with the conservative Republicans, are working out a more free trade free trade agreements.
Mm-hmm.
And I just let the local media and the people around me that saying, hey, you know, both your Democrats and your Republicans have sold you right down to the river, and you ought to get off your battered women's or your battered spouse problem and quit voting for people that want to, you know, basically cut you up.
Smartly said, Mike. I think, are you sure this isn't Rocky Anderson from Salt Lake City, the mayor out there?
Oh, no. But I have met him, and he did debate Sean Hannity once.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, you know, Sean Hannity got frazzled after, you know, Rocky was finished with him, because Rocky knows his facts. He's a very intelligent guy.
There you go. Mike, very well said. Salt Lake City, Utah, representing in the occupation. Appreciate your call, brother.
Okay.
All right. Let me get to, do I have time? I'm not even going to, damn it. All right. Margo in L.A. Oh, good. Margo is here. Hang on there. Who else we got? We got tons of Rocky in Austin. He disagrees, I think. No, he agrees. All right. We're going to come back with him. And on the other hand, Peter on the Connecticut Turnpike and James in Arizona, Mojave Valley, they disagree with the occupiers and with me. Peter even says he is not misinformed. Well, we'll find out when we get back here on the Mike Malloy Show. You can still try to get in, 877-520-1150. Good luck. America is now standing up for itself. Its elected leaders have failed it. It's not about right and left. It's about right and wrong. It's about getting corporations the hell out of our business, out of our Constitution. Let them do business, but listen, they ain't people. Not until we see one of them executed. Just like they say in Austin. Brad, in for Mike.
We still brave. We're looking for the chance to be free.
Well, they're building a gallows outside my cell. And I've got 25 minutes to go. And the whole town's waiting just to hear me yell. I got 24 minutes to go.
Yep, that's about what we got. 24 minutes to go right here on the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. Mike Malloy will return next Monday. Never fear, your long national nightmare will be over, and like Brigadoon, you'll not hear from me for another 150 years. Well, you might. You never know. You can always stop by and visit me at bradblog.com. You can Twitter me on the Bradblog. And, every now and again I show up on Pacifica Radio out here in Los Angeles, Wednesdays, 3:30, from 3:30 p.m. to 4. There you go. They give me 30 minutes. I take them. Let's get to, the phones are busy, 877-520-1150. Occupiers from around the nation, pro and con and everything else. Margo in L.A. Is this Margo? I don't want to give your last name unless you want to give it. But are you the one I've been? Yes?
Yes, Margo Pies.
That's what I thought. Margo Pies, you have been doing a great job, a citizen journalist out there covering the occupation. And in case you didn't know, we posted your latest Occupy LA coverage, day six, at the Brad blog today, Margo.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. Thank you very much for that.
No, thank you for covering it. Thank you for doing the job the media ought to be doing. So what's the latest word, very quickly, from the occupation in L.A. at the City Hall down there?
Well, I'd say there was about 500 people today there for Tavis Smiley and Cornel West. They came by. It was a surprise visit. They came in the morning. It was very informal, and then they promised to come back, so they came back around 5:30 and addressed the crowd. They actually brought a CNN van with them. And
Did they?
Yeah, they did. They wanted CNN to know, you know, that what kind of people were there. I guess a reporter had asked Cornel West if the occupation was really a whites-only movement, or mm-hmm. that it lacked diversity.
Right.
And he wanted to give them an opportunity to see that actually that wasn't the case, that it's quite a diverse crowd, which it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's people of all ages there. They bring their children, you know, baby boomers, people from the 60s and 70s movement, they're there. There's the young generation are certainly there. I'd say they're the ones that are the ones camping out.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, no.
Well, and you yourself, and I hate to ask this, don't answer if you don't want to, Margo, but in watching your video, you look very young. How old are you?
I'm 27, but I've occasionally passed for a high schooler. So.
Yeah, you do. You look very young. But you're really appreciate your reports letting us see what's going on. And it's kind of sad that it takes Cornel West and Tavis Smiley to get CNN to come on down there and find out what's actually going on. Have they been down there? Has there been much media coverage other than by journalists, citizen journalists like yourself?
There has been a lot of media coverage in the last few days. It's the first time I'd say CNN has been there. It's mostly been local coverage, and actually what I've seen, what has sort of surprised me, if anything, is that a lot of the Spanish stations are there. They're there just about every day, Telemundo, Univision, they're there.
Good.
Reporting constantly. So they definitely have an interest in terms of the Latino population in Southern California and bringing them out to the protests.
Good.
And I've tried to do that in my reports. I've tried to, you know, interview people who speak Spanish. I got someone who speaks Chinese on there with translation to show that, you know, even if you don't speak English, you can be there and protest.
Nice. Margo, great work. Keep it up. Keep making noise for the people. The hell with CNN. You know, CNN was out making jokes. I'm not kidding. Aaron Burnett went down to Occupy Wall Street in New York and made fun of them, was ridiculing them. It was horrific. And I think it was Eric Bollert of Media Matters who tweeted today that he thinks the occupation will be going on longer than Aaron Burnett's show. If that's the kind of coverage she's going to give to a serious movement like this, I hope Bollert is right. But more important, Margo Paez, you're up there fighting and reporting what's really going on. Really appreciate it. Check out her reports on YouTube. Her channel is called Inside Out News. Do I have that right?
Yeah, it's spelled INSIGHT Out News.
Okay, and also, and you can also, wait, INSIGHT? Oh, Insight. Insight.
Like
oh, yes. Okay, I misspelt it on the Brad blog. I'm going to fix it right now. Insight Out News. Thanks, Margo. Really appreciate the good work. Give my
thank
best
you.
To all the occupiers down there at City Hall in L.A., all right?
I will. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let me go to, okay, let's see, someone who got to some folks here who disagree with me. So let me give them some. Here we go. Peter in on the Connecticut Turnpike. Hey, Peter, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. Why is Occupy Wall Street not credible, as you told the screener?
Well, I can't take seriously people who have no place to be for weeks on end. Maybe they should try occupying a job. And then the list of the men.
So quick question. So the folks
John
in, hang on, Peter, yeah. hang on. Quick question. The people in Tahrir Square who were able to get rid of the autocratic dictator, Hosni Mubarak, because they camped out for weeks on end, not credible as far as you see them, right?
Do you seriously want to compare Egypt to the United States?
Yes, I do.
I reject your premise because that's impossible.
Why is that?
They have nowhere to be either. And if you look at the manifesto,
why do they have nowhere to be?
Well, obviously they have nowhere to be because they can sit and camp for weeks on end.
Why do they have nowhere, Peter? Why?
If they had a job or a life, they wouldn't be able to do that, would
they? And why don't they have a job, Peter? Why do you think that is?
Oh, maybe because they're lazy, maybe because they're unlucky. Okay. I have no idea. But if people want a job, they'll go find one.
Really? And despite despite the fact that we've had unprecedented unemployment because of what the banksters did to this nation that depressed the economy.
That premise too. That's baloney. That's a BS left-wing talking point. That's ridiculous.
Let me check with. Okay, let me check here. Hang on. Stay on the line, Peter. Let me check with. Hang on. Let me check with Rocky from Austin, who is an investment advisor, and let's see if he concurs. Can we get them both on? Hang on.
Yeah, am I on?
You are. Hang on. I got to lock you. Okay, I got to do it this way. Did I just dump him? Oh, crud. Shoot.
What did you cut
Peter,
him off?
I did, yeah, and I did not mean to. I meant to have you both on, but I don't know how to operate phones. Call back, okay. Peter, if you can. 877-520-1150.
Okay.
All right, Rocky, respond to him anyway.
Well, your producer was talking about him being worried that, his pension money was invested in stocks and things. Is that what his concern was?
Well, Peter, I don't know, actually, because I didn't get to them all. I wanted to bring you guys both on together, and I screwed it up. So,
well, your producer, the nice lady that you had mentioned that something like that was going on. So what I wanted to say was, first of all, I've been an advisor for 25 years. I'm almost 30 years. I'm 60 years old, and I totally support the occupiers because what Wall Street has become is a corrupt insider trading entity for the elite part of America. Mm-hmm. and people need to realize the only thing that's going to work is to decentralize the economy again and move money away from the Wall Street machine. And
you mean bust the trusts? You mean get rid of the monopolies and these too big to fail companies?
Yeah, you're putting the words in my mouth that I would use, but I'm trying. You know, what people need to do is realize that they have alternatives, just like this gentleman who was talking about the unions.
Mm-hmm.
They do have a lot of money, and they do have a lot of power. If that's true, why aren't the unions using their investor activism muscle to make stuff right? And if is Wall Street the problem or the union investing model the problem?
Well, now, what would you say, and Rocky, what would you say to Peter directly, who says that he has no respect for the people who are out there because if they have time to be there weeks on end, it means they're unemployed, and it's their fault that they're unemployed, that they can't find a job?
Let me just tell you this. I manage money. I'm a fee advisor. I manage $30 million.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you right now, that's small in this business. And right now, the recessions are created so that the rich and the elite can accumulate more wealth. They create bubbles.
Yep.
And they get wealthier every time there's a bubble and every time there's a crash.
And do you pay, do you think you should pay an extra, 3 or 4% on your income taxes, Rocky?
I have absolutely no problem with that. I donate that money, whether I'm taxed and the money is reused the entitlement programs are not the problem. The problem is that we have a corporate welfare state.
Yep.
And that is what is causing our it's not the entitlement programs.
I hear you. Yeah, I know. You're absolutely right. And it's the money and the politics paying off these guys from changing what we have. Rocky, I appreciate it.
Want to add one other thing.
Quickly.
I just want people to know you got consumer activism and you got investor activism. Forget voter activism. That doesn't work. They're too corrupt, especially at the state and federal level. You need to start thinking of taking money back looking at things like self-directed IRAs. It allows people to take money. Forgive me, I'll give you an example. If you took money out of Wall Street and put it into a self-directed IRA, you can buy raw land locally with that money and create an organic farm and have it and have a co-op farm, and you can still make money on the investment.
People need
to start thinking that way. That was my point.
I hear you, and I appreciate that. Thanks for getting out that word and for fighting the good fight, Rocky. I'm going to try to get to as many as I can.
Sure thing, and thank you for doing your job.
You bet, brother. All right, let me get to another call here. And Peter, once again, I am sorry. I did not mean to drop you. So let me get to Aaron in, where we are, Aaron in, oh no, well, close enough. Vince in Girard, Illinois, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi, Mike, how you doing?
I'm good, but I'm Brad. So nonetheless, okay. What's on your mind?
Well, here's my question. I'm about getting ready to retire.
Yes.
And I'm a union man, invested in the union.
Yep.
Union invested in the pensions.
Yep.
Pensions are invested in Wall Street.
Good.
I heard him, the previous caller said, okay, take your money out in a self-directed IRA and open up a co-op farm. Well, what if you live in a city and you don't have any ground?
Yeah.
And who's going to pay the pension if Walmart tanks and all these companies tank and there's no more dividends and the pensions are gone and I'm 68 years old and who's going to pick up the bill for my family?
Well, hang on. Who wants to, and I don't have him here, I don't have Rocky here to answer your question, but I don't think that he wants Walmart to tank. I don't think this is about anybody tanking. This is about, you know, millionaires paying their fair share. This is about getting corporate money out of politics to protect guys like you so that your pensions are not stolen, are not robbed, your Medicare is not taken away, your Social Security is not stolen.
Our pension has been doing quite well.
We're good. Mean,
right now,
you're lucky.
It's been doing good.
You're lucky.
And I heard these people that say, well, we want to do away with corporate America. I specifically heard that word, get away with corporate America. And corporate America is what's funding these pensions. And that's what hundreds and thousands of people have worked.
Actually, let me be clear. America is funding these pensions. When people buy things, that puts you to work. It's not the corporations. They are not the job creators. It is we, the people. Because you have a job, Vince, you're able to go out and buy stuff, which floats the economy, which pays your pension. And,
who pays for the pension? If it's invested in Wall Street, and
you
Wall Street's making money.
That's your money. That's your money.
But now if you do away with the Wall Street issues and you do away with the investments and you don't have any pensions.
I don't think this isn't about doing away with it. It's about getting them the hell out of politics and out of our government. I got to go to a break, Vince. I appreciate your thoughts, though, and I'm going to try to get in as many folks as I can. Thanks for calling and expressing your voice. Get out there and understand what's going on, because I don't think that he does yet. I blame myself for not explaining it well. 877-520-1150. Oh, brother, we got a lot of folks. I'm going to try to get to everybody. Brad, in for Malloy.
Let's say goodbye with a smile, dear, just for a while, dear. We must part. Don't let this parting upset you. I'll not forget you, sweetheart. We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again.
Yes, we will. Until then, I want to thank my guests tonight, Greg Palast and Ernie Canning and Craig Adams, our surprise guest there. Also, my thanks to engineer Tony Sorrentino for doing a kick-ass job all week right here at KTalk AM 1150. Thank you, Tony. Also to producer Desi Doyen, and she's also our call screener, and For Earth and Desi and Dale and Jeannie Dean in the bradblog.com chat room, which has gotten as lively as our phones here. Mike Malloy will return next Monday. Mike and Kathy Malloy, thank you both for allowing me to sit in and occupy your public airwaves. You can otherwise find me between guest host stints here on the Mike Malloy Show over at bradblog.com. You can tweet me at thebradblog as well. And if you missed any portion of tonight's program, it will be up at mikemalloy.com, where you should have a podcast subscription to support progressive broadcasting, but I'll also have it at bradblog.com. All right, we have no time at all left, but I'm going to try to get to as many folks here as I can. So if you can say it in 10 seconds, it's really appreciated. Aaron in Ann Arbor, Michigan, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi, Brad, how are you?
I'm good. What's on your mind in about 10 seconds, Aaron?
Well, last night I told you how to occupy Bank of America by, you know, going through the asking questions. Anyway, what we need to switch to is occupying the media, not in the sense you've been saying when you're guest hosting, but occupy the media. Start chanting, tell the truth, tell the truth, shame, shame, and so on. And I think if we start off occupying Fox News, MSNBC will cover it.
They'd love to.
Switch to MSNBC and Fox will cover it.
There you go. Good plan. I got to go, Aaron. I like it. Let me get to Mark in L.A. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Mark, what's on your mind, sir?
Hi, Brad. Good talking with you. I'm here down at the Occupation in L.A. I've been here since day one, and it's been incredible here. I just wanted to put a little information out there about what's going on. A lot of us do have jobs, number one, but what's happening in our world is so important that a lot of us have put our lives on hold to make a difference here. And, you know, we have a huge support. Just today, a county sheriff came up to me and said, I support you. And I was like, really? He goes, yeah, my home was foreclosed on. I'm not immune.
Yep.
On Tuesday, Richard Arlacombe, the councilman, one of the councilmen on the city council here, he's introducing a resolution in support of our
Yeah, and it's Mark, and I'm going to cut you off here only for time, but we have that resolution up at bradblog.com right now. It's a great resolution from the L.A. City Council supporting you guys and what you're doing, as do I. Thanks, Mark. I got to run. Let me get to, very quickly, Charles in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Malloy Show. What do you got for 5 seconds?
Hi, this is Charles Igallo, and I'm a journalist in Santa Fe, and I love your show. It's been very energetic, very progressive. I haven't heard anything like this in years.
Bless you, brother.
Like Randy Rose. You deserve your own show, at least for more than an hour.
You're very kind. Thank you, Charles. And I'd let you go on and on about me, but I got to go because of the clock. Thanks, brother. Oh, man. Hey, Mark in San Francisco, 5 seconds. What?
We need a new deal in America. We got to turn back Reagan's greed is good. And the New Deal is on right now.
Boom. There it is. Well done, Mark. James in Arizona. I'm sorry, Mark. Ron in Atlanta. I did try to get to everybody. Love you guys. Until we meet again, I'm Brad Friedman. I'll see you at bradblog.com.